Hello everyone, welcome to the latest episode of the Trouble Podcast with me, your host Hayley Sparks. It's so lovely to have your company as always as we dive into the travel industry and bring you some great information from our key trade partners to help you have a better understanding of all of the variety of holidays, cruises and trips that are available for you. And today I'm very excited to be speaking with Kerry, a returning guest, and she is just back from a river cruise with Emerald, a beautiful brand that I can't wait to introduce to you. Kerry, welcome back to the Trouble Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Hayley.
Oh, it's lovely to have you back. You are fresh off your first ever river cruise with Emerald, and I can't wait to hear all about it. Tell us where you've been and what you got up to.
I am indeed. So we flew to Amsterdam, where we joined the Emerald Sun ship, and then we cruised down the Rhine as far as Mannheim. And it was absolutely incredible. Loved it. Loved every single second of it.
Well, you're obviously very familiar with river cruises, but this is your first experience since you've been working with Emerald. Are there any unique memories, or what really stood out that perhaps makes Emerald's sailings different from any that you've done in the past in your career?
Sure. Well, first off, the Emerald River ships within Europe have swimming pools. They are big enough to get in and swim. They have a retractable roof over the top. So if the weather is glorious like it was for us, we had 30 plus 35 degrees heat. So that roof was open and we were in the pool. And it's big enough, and they've also got a jet stream so that you can actually properly swim in that pool as well. And on the back deck, then you're not missing out on any of the views either. We were, you know, looking out at the castles as we were cruising down the Rhine, and it was just absolutely magnificent. And that's a really unique thing on the Emerald River cruises, really, is that swimming pool. Even if the weather wasn't as good, the roof can be covered over, and you've got then a heated indoor swimming pool as well with panoramic views all around as you're cruising down the river. And then of an evening, that floor, the bottom floor of the swimming pool, raises, and then it becomes a cinema in the evening. So that space is really used to the full capacity, not just day with the swimming pool, but at night with the cinema. And then early in the morning, if the weather's not so great, you can do your yoga exercises and so forth on that bottom of the swimming pool that has been raised up. So yeah, that's really unique to the Emerald River ships, really, that no other river cruise out there has this unique swimming pool that we have on the aft decks.
That is so clever, the technology that you can transform a pool and then you've got the cinema area. I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, it really is fabulous. And it, like I said, it just maximizes the space that we have on board for day and evening activities, really.
And do you know how many passengers that you had on board your trip, or what is the capacity for the ship?
Capacity, yeah, absolutely, 180 guests. And we do have a mix of nationalities, but they're all English speaking. So we had some Australians, some Americans, and some British passengers on board our ship.
So that's a really nice number, isn't it? I can imagine smaller, more intimate river cruise, but also enough passengers that if you are somebody that likes talking to people, meeting new people, making friends, building a friendship whilst you're on board, you've still got that opportunity because you can obviously meet people from all around the world when you're cruising.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what I did. I was sat out on the very front of the ship one afternoon. I got chatting to a couple. The wife was Australian. The husband was British. And it was their first time cruising down the Rhine as well. So it was really interesting to get their perspective of coming over to Europe, really, and cruising down the Rhine. We met quite a large multi-generational family. There was 11 of them that had come over from America. They had the grandparents, the parents, and a couple of children as well. But they were early teenagers and they were experiencing Europe for their first time too. So yeah, it was really nice mix of international guests. Then you can have, you know, various conversations with them about their home and why they've come over to Europe. And yeah, it was really, really interesting.
And you also had travel agents with you on board. Did any of them mention anything that really stood out to them? Obviously, as travel experts, they're in a fortunate position to have probably travelled on lots of different cruise ships, not necessarily river cruise, but be interesting to hear what their take on the experience was.
Absolutely. So we had 8 travel agents with us, and they were purely with us to experience the product. A couple of them, it was their first cruise ever. So they'd never even cruised ocean. It was just first cruise ever. And they absolutely loved it. And they most of them came off at the end and said, this is my type of holiday now. This is what I want to do. Some of the agents had cruised with ocean lines, but first time on river. So it's really interesting to get their perspective. And they were actually pleasantly surprised that there was still stuff going on around the ship that they thought, oh, you know, being on a small river ship, there's not going to be much to do. But they were kept entertained throughout the entire time they were on board as well. And then we had a couple that had cruised with other river lines before, and they come over and experience the difference with Emerald as well. So yeah, there was a mix of agents. It's really great to get their perspective on Emerald as a brand, and then river cruising as a whole as well.
So Kerry, Emerald is known for blending luxury but also with an eye for value. I find this a really interesting concept. So can you just explain how that differs from other mass market cruising or ultra luxury river cruises? Because it sounds like it's maybe somewhere in the middle.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they are luxury river ships, but they do have a very casual at home feel. And with 180 guests on board, of course, the crew are going to get to know the passengers very well. It's very comfortable. And as we've already mentioned it briefly at the beginning, it's very innovative for the design of the ships, with luxurious thrown in as well. So things like the swimming pool that we've spoken about, and also the floor to ceiling windows, and also the balcony and the windows that actually move up and down as well. So it really is luxurious. I mean, you can go and help yourself to tea and coffee. And it's just got a really nice, spacious design. It's modern, it's bright and airy as well. So yeah, really, really nice, luxurious feel to the ships, and of course the cabins and the public areas around the ships too.
Oh, it sounds beautiful. And for any of our listeners who might be considering their very first river cruise, what would you say are the biggest surprises or discoveries that they often have on board? I know you touched upon maybe people expecting that they won't necessarily have that much entertainment, and that's obviously a bit of a myth, but is there anything else?
The biggest surprise to many of the agents that we had actually with us was the fact that how easy it is. You get picked up from the airport. It's a short flight, hop over to the European destinations to pick up the ship, and how easy it was to get on. There's no queuing. You're straight on, straight into your cabins, which was absolutely great. And also they were quite surprised about how active some of our guests were on board. You know, we have e-bikes on board our ships. We do yoga classes in the mornings. We have the swimming and the jets that you can swim against in the swimming pool. So a lot of our guests actually were very active. We have a lot of people were walking around the decks in the morning doing their steps and things. They were quite surprised how active the guests were on the ship as well as off the ship when they were going out on the e-bikes as well.
That's brilliant to have the e-bikes. So you can take them off the ship and explore the destination.
Absolutely, yep. So the guests can do it as part of a tour, an organised tour. So we have activity managers on board our ships as well as the cruise directors. And the activity managers are purely there to organise the e-bike tours, entertainment in the evening and so forth. And actually all the e-bikes were utilised during the port days. And so the activity manager actually put extra tours on for us to go out and experience the e-bikes as well. Or you could just simply take them off and cycle around in your own time, and obviously make it back in time for the ship when she's ready to set sail. So there's two options there, really. You can be part of the guided tour, or you can go off independently. But it was great, really great. You've got them obviously on the ship, so that means you've got them in all the ports of call as well.
That's wonderful. I think e-bikes are fantastic because they help to cater for all kind of levels of fitness, don't they? If you're not an experienced cyclist, or you don't get to experience going on a bike very often in your day-to-day life, with that obviously e-bike technology, you can still travel really far with the capability that they have to support you getting around without using up too much of your own physical strength and energy. So I think that must be a wonderful way to explore the destinations. So I love that. And it's something I've personally never come across before. So it's wonderful that you offer that to your guests. Let's talk, Kerry, a little bit about Emerald's itineraries, because obviously I know that you span some of the iconic rivers and also some of the lesser known waterways. Are there any hidden gem destinations or ports of call that you feel maybe deserve more attention or that people might want to consider for a future trip?
There's lots, obviously, lots of river ports out there that we visit. I would probably say the Douro is one of our little secret hidden gems, because when we cruise the Douro River, particularly in Porto, we actually dock on the opposite side of the river to all the other river ships out there, which means we are directly in the city of Porto. We're on the right side, so to speak. So that's amazing. And just everywhere, really, I think every little turn and corner around the next river, there's just some amazing destinations out there to be visited, some smaller little places and also the bigger cities as well. So can I say all of them? Because they're all amazing in their own little way.
And I know from mainstream cruising, it's the kind of trip that just does become addictive, and what a lovely opportunity to really get into the heart of some of these destinations. And I think it does, even thinking about people that might have mobility issues, when you're getting in the heart of the place that you're visiting, again, just kind of cutting down all the additional transport that you need to actually get about and see these places. And I think for me, what I would find the most magical is just the views on board, being on a river and seeing these cities, these destinations up close from that, from a perspective of the water that you would never get from being in the city or the destination when you're on foot.
Absolutely. And that's one big thing that I would say is very different from ocean cruising, because a lot of people obviously do compare ocean cruising to river cruising. And that's the one big thing. So I've cruised a huge amount on oceans, and the first thing I do when we dock is I want to get off. I want to go and see these destinations. But actually, when I was on the river ship, getting off the ship wasn't a big deal to me, because I was enjoying more so just being on the river ship and sailing down the river. I wasn't too fussed about getting off the ship. So even if you do have people that have slight mobility issues, you can stay on the ship. You don't necessarily have to get off, or you can get off for an hour maximum and get back on the ship if you wish, and you're not really going to miss out on anything. And also, what I would strongly advise if anybody is looking at a river cruise, particularly for your first time, make sure that you are upgrading and getting those balcony cabins, because there's always something to look out the window or look out your balcony at. If you get the state rooms, the windows are fairly small, and basically all those windows are giving you is light coming into your cabin, whereas of an evening or first thing in the morning when you wake up, you do want to throw those curtains open and look out. Where are we? What's the scenery outside? You don't want to miss anything. So strongly recommend that upgrade into a balcony is the way forward on the river itineraries, so that you personally are not going to miss out on any of the scenery, because like I said, there's always something to look out the window at.
That's a highlight. And I mean, me personally, I absolutely love the sea, and I love looking out and seeing nothing but sea. But the more and more I speak to people about travel and their holidays, I do come across customers that say, oh, a cruise would overwhelm me because I don't like the thought of looking out and seeing nothing but ocean. It'd make me, you know, it would just make me feel a little bit uncomfortable. It's not for everyone. So that's where I can recommend a river cruise as an alternative, because it's a very different feel, because you can, as you say, there's always something to see. You're so close to land. You don't have that vast outlook of ocean that it's not for everyone.
No, absolutely. And I guess river cruising is more like, I would say, it's cruising through the countryside or cruising through the towns and villages. And yeah, it's just, I just loved being on board on the top deck, just watching the scenery as we literally floated down the river. It was absolutely stunning.
So peaceful. And I think, again, if you love your photography, how nice, what an opportunity to get some beautiful pictures, or if you're into your videography, or even just nice pictures to share on your social media, friends and family, if you have an eye for that kind of thing. What a lovely opportunity to see it all. That's amazing. Let's talk a little bit more about Emerald Active Experiences. That seems to be something else that sets the cruises apart.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, we have our activity managers on board, and then we have the active activities taking place. So whether that's the yoga, whether that's the cycling, so all the swimming, we do attract more of an active person that is looking to cruise down the rivers because of the e-bikes and the activities that we do have with the Emerald Active side of the cruising.
Brilliant. From your perspective, Kerry, what would you say is the single biggest advantage of traveling on a small ship?
No crowds, 100%. No crowds at all. So you don't have to queue to get on or off the ship. It's a lot quieter, and in my opinion, it's a lot more relaxing as well. You know, there's enough sunbeds for everybody on the top deck. You're not scrambling around trying to look for sunbeds or a seat in the bar, anything like that. So our river ships are spacious for the amount of people that we have on board our ships as well. But yeah, no crowds, and it's truly relaxing. And then of course, when you've not got crowds, the crew are going to get to know you personally. I mean, when I was on the top deck, we got to know the bar staff very well, and they didn't even need to ask us if we wanted a drink. They just raised their hand or nod their head, and they knew exactly what we wanted and brought it up. So it was that extra service as well, that you're going to get a more personal service with less guests on board, for sure.
That's so nice, especially for solo travellers as well, just to have that personal service from the staff that really take the time to get to know the passengers, because there are less of you, I can imagine, really puts people at ease and helps them to enjoy any solo travels that they have as well. And I'd say, Kerry, I imagine the flexibility that you get is probably another great benefit, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, being on smaller vessels, for sure, you can go into different places. And again, we've touched on it, but you can dock closer to the destination as well, being on smaller vessels, for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about a day in the life on board. Obviously, every day is different. Every passenger's way that they choose to experience the river cruise is different. But for somebody that's never had this type of holiday before, can you walk us through maybe like, just like a typical day on your trip, what would that look like, or what could that look like from morning to evening?
Yeah, sure. So if you're an early bird, then we do have the yoga activities taking place either on the top deck if the weather's nice, or on the swimming pool area where the reef, the floor has been raised. So that becomes a yoga. Then you've got breakfast, 8 till about 9, 9:30. You can go and help yourself and have a really nice breakfast with floor to ceiling windows all around the restaurant, which is lovely. You may be docking quite early in the morning, 7, 8 o'clock, alongside, so that you would then be free to go ashore around that time if you were doing something independently, or if you were on more of an organized tour. It might be an active walking tour, or it might be more of a sightseeing tour. So the shore excursions of the tours are included with Emerald on our river ships as well. You might be off for half a day, you might be off for a whole day. Most people do have tours planned, and they would come back on board in time for lunch so that they didn't need to worry about finding restaurants or anything going ashore. Come back for lunch, and then the afternoon people might go out again on shore excursions, or they might just decide to relax on the top deck or relax in the pool or whatever they might choose to do. And then around about 3 o'clock, you'd have afternoon tea. We have port talks ready for the next day. That happens in one of the lounges near the bar about 6 o'clock of an evening. And then when the port talk has finished, most people then migrate down into the restaurant for about 7, 7:30 for a three-course meal as well. So the food is absolutely outstanding on Emerald River ships as well. After dinner, A lot of people do decide to go to the bar. We would generally have light entertainment on board. That could be music quizzes, name that tune, general quizzes, or it may even be, as we experienced the other day when we were in Cologne, a local violinist came on in Germany. She wasn't your traditional classical violinist. She was doing more upbeat modern rock songs with her violin. And that was on for about 40, 45 minutes. So that was really, really lovely entertainment. And that happened. She disembarked and then we set sail shortly after that onto our next port of call. So you might have a morning in port or an afternoon in port, or you might have a full day in port, depending on your chosen itinerary. After the light entertainment, you might decide to go up to the bar, up onto the top deck, and just watch the world go by as it's lit up of an evening.
There's just so much to do, and I love how you can tailor every day to how you feel. And I think the port talks are really valuable. I know they're not available on all cruises, but I think on the cruise brands that do offer them, incredibly helpful, because you can really tap into the expertise of the people giving the talks, so you can maximize your time in those ports. And I think it's quite nice to know a day ahead of what are the highlights, what should we see, what should we do, where are the hidden gems, where should we eat if we're eating off the ship, are there any points, places of interest that we really want to see, because otherwise you can kind of like waste time when you don't really know where to go or what to do. So I think port talks are brilliant that you offer that on Emerald.
Absolutely. And the cruise director when we were on, he was making some like quiz questions throughout it as well. So it was quite informative, and they were talking about the different nationalities, and they were comparing destinations and ports of call as well to what they'd been experiencing previously. So it was quite lighthearted. It wasn't a full-on history lesson or so forth. It was more of an involved destination talk about where you'd be visiting the next day. So it was interesting, but made fun along with it.
Yeah, interesting and entertaining at the same time. So, Kerry, you've already given us one tip already for people that might be considering a river cruise with Emerald. And I think that is great advice. If you can stretch your budget to consider the balcony cabin, then you will be able to take advantage of all of the wonderful scenery. But would you have any other tips or pieces of advice if somebody is thinking of booking a trip?
My biggest advice would be obviously book early. If you know you've got a chosen itinerary and a time of year that you'd like to visit those destinations, purely because they are smaller ships. They're not like the ocean ships. They do only hold 180 passengers. So they do get booked out quite early. For example, some of our departures next year on the Douro River already. The Douro seems to be one of those in popular destinations and itineraries at the moment. So that has been selling extremely well for us. So my advice would be, if you know what you want and you know the time of year, then don't hesitate, because if you sit on it and think about it, then you might not get the opportunity to have the cabin or the date that you'd prefer to go to on your chosen river itinerary. So booking early really is key.
And I think the earlier you book, the more time you have to get excited.
Yeah, absolutely.
The excitement of leading up to a trip, sometimes I think, well, for me, adds to it. I don't know about you, Kerry, but when I've kind of got a holiday countdown and I know it's happening and I start thinking about what I'm going to do, doing my research, what I might need to buy or pack for my trip, it all adds to the excitement. So I think that build up and reassurance of knowing that you've really got the trip, that's exactly what you're looking for, you're not making any compromises because certain ones have sold out, that's just reassuring. And Kerry, thank you so much. Before I let you go, just finally, what would you say to anybody listening that maybe still a little bit on the fence about river and your cruising? What would you say to them really creates like the lasting memories, and if they gave it a go, potentially could be like the customers that we find that come back again and again once they've just gone on that first trip?
Yeah, I mean, it is very addictive. Already, even the agents that had cruised with us for the very first time on river, first cruise ever, they were all looking at the brochure. Oh, you've got other rivers around Europe. Oh, we could go and experience this and go and experience that. So it is very much one of those cruising experience that you once isn't enough. You need to keep going and go back and explore a different time of year or look at different river, go for longer. I now want to cruise all the way down the Danube, having done the Rhine. I want to carry on, want to see what's around the next bend of that river. So yeah, there is so much to do out there that one river cruise isn't enough. It's not going to tick all your boxes of seeing and doing everything. And like we were just saying a second ago, booking early is key, particularly in some of the busier European city destinations. If there's some big museums that you want to visit, you have to book tickets. I mean, for example, the Anne Frank Museum in Amsterdam, you have to book tickets to go to these places and go into the museums months ahead because they are so very popular and so very busy. So the earlier you book, then you can start planning all your activities and everything around that as well. So you know you're going to be in Amsterdam on such and such a day. Right, let's go and book my tickets for the museums and all the things that you want to go and see and do. Whereas if you book it late, then you might not get that opportunity if the museums and things are sold out as well. So that's really key.
Great advice. Yeah, there's nothing more disheartening than not being able to see a place of interest. Or I've been lucky enough to go to Anne Frank Museum, and it's fascinating, but it is the place that everybody heads to, isn't it? And you think to yourself, well, I might not come back here again. You don't want to miss out on the day that you're there. So the earlier you can get organised and book everything in, the better. Well, Kerry, thank you so much for coming back again. It's been lovely to talk to you on the Travel Podcast to get your insights. You've certainly whet my appetite for a river cruise. I'm yet to experience one, but I can, being an avid cruiser, I can really see the appeal and the difference experience that you can achieve on a smaller ship. And just looking forward to all the scenery and the landscapes from that perspective would be a massive, massive draw. So thank you so much for talking to us today.
You're very welcome.
And thank you so much for listening. We have something new at the Travel Podcast. We would love to hear from our lovely listeners. If you have got any questions, if you have got any travel companies that you would love to appear on a future episode, or any topics that you would like us to cover, we really want to hear from you. Just have a look in the show notes, click the link, all the information that you need to take part will be there, and we really look forward to hearing from you and having your input for a future episode. Remember, if you can take a moment to rate and share the podcast, we'll be so grateful. It really does help us grow. Thanks again. It's been great to have your company, and I will see you next week.